You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we have it covered here for you thanks to the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. Make sure you're following at BGN underscore radio and that you're also subscribed to the feed because we have plenty of content coming your way as we work through the weeks and months leading up to free agency and the 2020 NFL Draft. Today we have NFL Combine press conferences for you with Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson taking the stand. They talk about a range of topics that include how aggressive they're looking to be in free agency, the potential return of Jason Peters, Press Taylor's contributions to the red zone offense, and much, much more, so stay tuned for that. Briefly, let's talk about this Combine schedule. Weigh-ins and interviews have already started, and today on Thursday, you're going to get your first on-field work and athletic testing as quarterbacks, tight ends, and wide receivers take the field to show what they got. Friday, you're going to see the special teamers, offensive linemen, and running backs. Saturday is for defensive linemen and linebackers. And finally, Sunday is all about the defensive backs. So a wave of information is about to crash upon our shores. Make sure you're locked here as we take you through it every step of the way. But for now, let's join Howie Roseman when he was at the podium in Indy.
Want to start off by congratulating the Kansas City Chiefs on their world championship. Mr. Hunt, Coach Reed, Brett Veach, and their entire staff. You know, it's hard to watch the Super Bowl when you're not in it, but obviously there's a lot of bonds that tie us with that organization and that team. And just want to say congratulations as we start off.
Howie, how essential is it to get Carson Wentz some wide receiver help?
We're always looking to add weapons and help for our quarterback. You know, it's a big part of our job is to try to surround him with playmakers, protect him, of course. And so that's something that will always be a focus as we start an off season.
Have you made a decision?
Have you made a decision about Jason Peters and going on to your door?
Yeah, I think as it pertains to all of our free agents, you know, I think it's important that as we go through this process, we keep an open mind with everyone and try to figure out as we get more information. A big part of this week is accumulating information. That's what we'll do here. You know, obviously, when you're talking about Jason Peters, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player, a Hall of Fame person, someone who's very special to us and, you know, played it at a really high level last year. So we'll go through all those decisions this week, and that'll kind of be my stock answer as it goes to every free agent we kind of talk about here.
Have you learned, though, with players of that magnitude, I guess, in the franchise's history, that you kind of have to deal with it a little differently than other players?
Well, there's no question. When you talk about guys that are historic players in the National Football League, guys who are going to the Hall of Fame, guys who are going to the Eagles Hall of Fame, those guys are special people and special players, and you don't have a lot of those during the course of your career. And so you try to make decisions first that are best for the football team, and at the same time have respect and appreciation for what guys have done and what guys have done going forward and are going to be part of your organization for a long period of time.
You talked about needing an infusion of youth. You've got 10 draft picks, which is more than you've had in a while. Do you expect
double the amount that we've had over the last 2 years?
Do you expect to use 10 draft picks?
You know, I think there's two parts to that, Paul, when we sit here. I think the first part is that when you look at the teams who've won the Super Bowl, there's also veteran component to the team. So we're not talking about a total rebuild. We're talking about a retool period and injecting some youth. We got a lot of highly paid players on our team, good players. That's why we paid them. And so you have to supplement them with some good young players. And then we know that in the draft, no matter how good you are, there is a hit and miss rate. It's just the nature of the beast at that. And so the more draft picks you have, the better chance you have on hitting on guys. And we really haven't had those. Now, we did it for a reason. You know, we sacrificed the draft picks because we were in a win now mode. And fortunately, we won. But at the same time, now some of the repercussions for that come forward and we got to make tough decisions. So as we sit here, would love to say that we're going to be having 10 picks. But there were moments in the last two drafts where there were guys within reach. Hey, John, what's going on, buddy? this is going to be great. That we'd want to move up, and we just didn't have the ammunition to do it. So if there's a guy still that we thought was incredibly highly valued and we could go up and go get him, we couldn't take that off the table.
There have been drafts in the past couple of years that have been particularly deep at certain positions, running back in 17, defensive line last year. You didn't take guys early.
Thanks, buddy.
You didn't take guys early in those drafts. Did you learn anything about that as it pertains to receiver this year?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily it's a mistake not taking guys early in the strength of that draft, because what happens is guys at other positions fall to you because of that, and that gives you an opportunity to still get value. At the end of the day, you got to take the right players, you know, and so when we look at back at those drafts and maybe some of the decisions that we made, maybe when you go into a draft thinking, hey, I'm going to come out, and you mentioned in 17 running backs, you go into it thinking this is such a great class, I'm going to get one. And then maybe you kind of have this in the back of your mind, I'm going to come out of the draft with that position. And then as it gets later in the draft, maybe you're trying to force some things. But I think what we've learned about that is that sometimes there are drafts you can't really – there's not a rhyme or reason. Sometimes there's drafts where you go, hey, it's a great running back draft, and so we're going to get a guy later than we thought. And sometimes in that situation, guys are going, I'm going to get the one I really like and make sure that if it's a historical class, this is a guy I really like. I don't know if I answered your question, but
Howie, Darius Slay Jr. is on the market. Are you looking to trade for him to improve your cornerback depth?
Are you looking to get me fined for tampering with another team? That would be the question. Yeah, we're not going to answer about any players on any other teams. You know, it's our job to explore everything. We are going to look at everything, trade market, free agent market, the draft, to improve our football team.
You didn't get younger and faster on the roster. How do Alshon and DeSean Jackson fit into that? And considering the injuries they had last year, do you feel like you can count on them next year to be contributing players?
Yeah, again, we're trying to balance. We have good players who are not 23 and 24 years old. And when you look at who's winning, and even when we won, you're going to have players that are still in their prime that are 28, 29, 30, 30 plus that can contribute for you. When you talk about kind of that position as a whole, I think it goes back to my first answer. We're always going to look for playmakers. We're always going to look for guys who can help coach, who can help Carson. And we'll just kind of have to figure out how we're going to all fit everything into the puzzle.
What's the timetable for Alshon's return from his injury?
We're not going to get into any timetables on injuries, but I think when you talk about Alshon, the most important thing for Alshon is getting him healthy as quickly as possible.
What you did in 2016 to get Wentz, what do you think in a day's world it would take to move up, say, from 7 to 1 in the draft? And what's the risk of mortgaging a lot of the future with draft picks when you do that?
I think it's kind of catch-22 when you're talking about the quarterback position, because it's really hard to win unless you have a great quarterback. And you could have a really great team built around that guy, and if you don't have the guy, that signal caller, it's hard. But you got to be right. And so I think I'm glad that we're not in that position right now to think about what would be the right compensation, and just kind of focus on how we can help our quarterback get better and surround him with better players.
How many ones would you think?
I don't know. Depends who you're dealing with. It'd be tough.
Where do things stand with Malcolm Jenkins? I know he openly has said that he wants a new contract before he takes the field again. Where do you guys stand with that?
Malcolm's been a great player, a great person for us. You know, as it relates to contract negotiations with all our players, those are things we'll try to keep in-house and, you know, have honest conversations with all our players.
What's your process for evaluating past drafts, either personally or as a staff? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, I think they're great learning tools. At the same time, you know, you got to look at some of the things that maybe you overvalued, some of the things you've undervalued, how the game has changed, what things are happening. I think you go back and you look at a draft like 2012 at the quarterback position, and maybe there were guys who went later than they would at a time like now because maybe they were unique at that time. And so you're probably not getting a guy like that in the third round anymore where maybe you got them. You know, I'm proud about the fact that some of the greatest players in Eagles history are part of our draft classes. You know, some guys who are going to go to the Eagles Hall of Fame. Now, can we do a better job? There's no doubt about it. And we're going to do whatever we can to do a better job. But there is some projection involved in taking guys who are 21 and 22, changing their surroundings, putting money in their pocket, changing their system, changing their scheme. So you try to the best of your ability take the guesswork out of it. But we've also seen some examples where, you know, some of maybe the projections we had have to change based on some of the success some guys have had. We talked about at the end of the season meeting that we had with all of you guys, that sometimes things change and you got to look at it from a different lens and continue to grow and learn and get better.
For the third straight offseason, you made significant changes to your medical and training staff. Mm-hmm. Is that a reflection of all the injuries that you guys have endured over the last three seasons?
Yeah, well, I think the first part about it, when we talk about some of the people who left, Shireen decided not to renew her contract. She's got family on the West Coast, and she decided to move back to the West Coast and, you know, appreciate her work and wish her well. Sean Hull's contract expired as well. And we had a unique opportunity. I think that we had the need, and we got two guys, and Tom and Ted, that we're very excited about, that we think are going to be huge additions to our football team. And we got to look at anything we can to get better. You know, we owe it to our players, to our coaches, to our organization, to our fans, to find ways to get better. And I feel like we're very fortunate to get those two guys.
Will each be in charge of their respective departments?
Yeah, Jeff, that's a great question. You know, everyone in performance and strength will report to Ted, and everyone in the training room will report to Tom.
You mentioned Dr. Denotas. He was going to evaluate during the season your whole training and mm-hmm. rehab process. Can you tell us anything about that evaluation, what he found that needed to change?
Yeah, I think we wanted to step away from it. That's why we didn't make changes right away or add anyone right away and kind of get a fresh lens, because obviously when the season ends, you're disappointed that the season ended. And we've had a lot of injuries the last couple of years. There's no doubt about it. And I take responsibility, too, for the things that I can do better there. But I think when we looked at it and saw the opportunity, some people leaving, and the opportunity to get people that we think are going to be really outstanding for our football team, we thought it was a no-brainer.
Are you more free this offseason to sign free agents who qualify for the contract for
them? I'm more free to sign free agents.
About it in the past?
Well, mostly last year. I think because we had 10 picks over a two-year period, we sat there and felt like, and we paid Carson, and we have a lot of highly paid players on our team. We felt like we needed a year where we knew we were going to have double-digit draft picks. And so, you know, I look at it that some of those guys that we released during the season, they're good players, and they were good players for the teams that they went to after they came to us. But for us going forward, to have those picks and to know we had those picks was important. Just sitting here now and feeling like we're going to have 10 picks and we need that amount of guys. Now, when we look at it, I think the scenario changes a little bit in terms of if we can get the right free agents. We're not in a mode now where maybe we try to find the undervalued older guys that we try to find the last couple of years. And going forward, we're trying to build this over a period of time. We're not kind of in this one-year window. We talked about it again in January about how looking at this 2020, 2021, 2022, in this three-year period of getting guys who are part of it, I guess kind of similar to how we looked at free agency in maybe 2016 and 17.
In 2021, you don't really have many players that are scheduled to become unrestricted free agents. I think it's just Malcolm, really, as far as the starters go. Does that free you up maybe to be able to spend more this offseason in, you know, knowing that you have that situation coming up?
Yeah, I think the one thing we got to be careful of is the amount of cap room we have this year and then how it's affected next year and the years going forward, because we don't want to be in a position where we lose flexibility totally by doing that. So we're hopeful that if we go into the free agent market, that maybe we're signing guys that are more core guys than more one or two year guys. And we look at it from building our team over a 2-3 year perspective, as opposed to just kind of this 1 year window.
How can a team use GPS tracking to measure speed in addition to the drills that you guys have here?
I think it's a great resource for us. It's not the end all be all as we look at it, but being able to get that, it shows play speed as much as it does just track speed. So when that kind of matches up, like any decision, you know, we talk about it a lot. We want the tape to match up with the numbers and we feel really good. If one of those things isn't equal, maybe that, you know, changes the resource we put on it. So it's the same with the GPS data.
As a follow-up to what you were saying about free agency, is it fair to say that the approach is going to be different this offseason and you'll be more willing to kind of get involved in the top of the market free agents as opposed to what you've done the past 2 years?
I think what would be fair to say, Zach, is that over the last 2 years coming off the Super Bowl, we had a different amount of resources going forward, and we were looking at our team building over that 17, 18, 19 period. And we knew 20 that we were going to have to kind of change that a little bit. So now we're looking at it over the course of a window. Not that we don't want to win this year. We desperately want to win this year. But more over building this team over 2020, 2021, hopefully 2022. It's hard to look 3 years out, really, but keep our eye on that. So I think that maybe changes the complexion of some of our decisions this offseason. That is different than coming off the Super Bowl or coming off, you know, losing to the Saints in the divisional round.
A significant investment in Andre Dillard, first round. I mean, how can you allow him to sit for another year if you do have plans of bringing Jason Peters back?
Yeah, Andre getting that experience, certainly at left tackle, was huge for him. We're very confident in his abilities to be a really good player. But it's a good problem for us to have, that we have a lot of these offensive linemen that we think are good players and that can play. You know, it's an all-line deficient league. And I think we feel fortunate that we have these good options and that it's not the flip side where we're trying to figure out what we're going to do going forward on our offensive line, that we have a lot of good options to choose from.
How involved were you in the search to fill out Doug's staff?
You know, that's all Coach Peterson. He makes those decisions. At the same time, just like when I'm hiring a staff member or promoting a staff member, I want him to interview him. I want him to get to know him because we're all in this together. And so that's kind of how we roll on everything. If I'm hiring somebody as part of my staff, they sit down with Coach Peterson. But at the end of the day, I got to have responsibility for that decision. And it's the same when he's hiring anyone, you know, he's going to make that decision, but, you know, we get a chance to sit down and talk a little bit, but it's all based on his perspective and what he's looking for.
Right, thanks, guys.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Water's good. You got my own.
Obviously, with backup quarterbacks, you guys have had Nick Foles and then Josh McCown last year. This year, maybe Nate Sudfeld will be more of a prominent role. How do you feel about putting Sudfeld in that type of role?
Yeah, I mean, we've been real comfortable with Nate. He's been with us now the last few years, very comfortable with him. Obviously, he has an opportunity, and we'll see what happens this spring when we get down the road here with him. But you know, he's put himself in a position to compete and possibly be our number two.
With running backs, guys have been injured and guys have been kind of retiring. Will you be looking at the combine this week to kind of find a running back for a few?
Yeah,
weeks?
You know, this is a great opportunity for us as coaches. This is the first time for us to really put eyes on these college players, and you know, we're looking to add value and talent at every position, not just running back. But we've done this the last couple of years, and we're going to continue with this process.
Jason Kelce has been really honest over the last few years. He kind of used it a year-by-year thing. Have you talked to him, and do you expect him to be back and playing next year?
You know, I saw him at the end of the year when we had our exit physicals and had a chance to sit down with him. And, you know, I think Kelsey's in a really good place with every player, especially veteran players. I want them to take time, you know, be with their families, get away from the game, you know, refresh, recharge, and, you know, we'll cross those bridges. But obviously we'd love to have them all back.
Doug, you made a decision to fire Mike Groh, and it was one day later after you had said that maybe you had made a change. What changed in that one day that made you
fire? Yeah, you know, I'm going to go back to a WIP interview that I had about a week later. You didn't? Well, for those of you that did, thank you. You know, that decision, obviously I was not clear in what I said and the communication level there. And I was still in my evaluation process of my entire staff at the time. So it was just, a situation where I just misspoke. And I apologize for that.
Why was Mike fired?
You know, there's times where course of the season, course of the year, things just don't work out, you know, and I'm constantly evaluating everybody, and my coaches know this coming into this business and into this our organization, and I have to make tough decisions. We have to do it with the players, we have to do it with coaching staff, and so I was, you know, just made that move.
What was Jeffrey's involvement in that decision making?
There was none. You know, it's this is one of the things that I appreciate about Jeffrey Howie is they give me a total control over the staff. Are they interested, and do they talk to me about certain guys and want to talk to candidates? Sure, they do. I think it just behooves them to have all the information, you know, with guys that I bring into the building. So they give me that control, you know, to make these decisions. And, you know, I got to make the tough ones. But at the same time, I felt like I made some really good hires this spring.
Fifth wide receivers coach, Doug.
You're next.
Why do you think you have it right this time?
You know, I think in this there's no guarantees in this business. I am excited, however, with Aaron. He's a former player. He's been around some great minds in this league. You know, he's worked with and played with, you know, Peyton Manning and here in Indy. And he's now coached the position, obviously at the collegiate level. You know, he's got the right demeanor, and I'm excited to work with him and get him on board and get him caught up to what we're doing, and look forward to this offseason.
Your structuring of your offensive staff with a run coordinator and a pass game coordinator and also adding Scangarella, is he going to be your quarterback's coach essentially? And you're the third team. The Rams and the 49ers also have this run-pass separation. Why is it a good thing? How does it benefit you?
I think, number one, now my offensive coordinator doesn't have to talk to you guys. That's going to be me, right? I mean, the thing is, for the last 4 years, I have had an offensive coordinator, and by position and by title. And yet, when it comes to game day decisions, game calls, I'm the one that's calling the plays. So the offensive coordinator doesn't do that. And so I thought long and hard about this, and this is why I took my time this offseason, you know, with these decisions with Rich, putting him in a senior offensive, you know, position, and then promoting press to a pass game coordinator. I really feel like that in order for press to grow, I've got to give him more as a coach. I got to put more on his plate. I still want him in the quarterback's room. I still want him to be around Carson and the guys, and he's done an outstanding job there. But at the same time, I want him to have more of a you know, his fingerprints on game plans. And then Rich comes in and he helps bridge the gap with Coach Stoutland as the run game coordinator and now press and bringing all those pieces together along with myself and having such a collaborative game plan approach allows us to really have more, I think a better sense of our game plan that we're going into each game with. So, I just made that decision and obviously with it ultimately is, you know, it comes down to me on game day with calling the plays.
In that evaluation process, did you consider giving up play calling duties?
No, not yet. That's the part that keeps me attached. That's the part that keeps me, you know, my own motivation, right, is to be around the players and to stand up in front of the room and install the plays during the week and be connected to the team offensively that way with all the other things that I have to do. So play calling was never brought up.
Did you find it hard to bring in potential OCs or offensive assistants if they didn't get to call plays?
I mean, that's always something that I think a candidate who wants to be an offensive coordinator if they're going to a place where the head coach is calling plays or somebody else is calling plays, yeah, that's difficult. You know, that's difficult. And so some of the candidates I spoke with and even brought into the building, you know, that was brought up. And I told them up front that, you know, this is a position where, you know, I'm still going to call the plays. I'm not going to give that up. And they have to be comfortable with that. And, you know, listen, I would have a hard time too if I was interviewing for a coordinator's job, having called plays previously. That'd be tough to give up.
Doug, Rich has the background in the Shanahan system. You guys have West Coast and spread guys with different backgrounds. What's your vision for how all this is going to work together, or why do you want guys with such different backgrounds?
Yeah, I mean, again, our approach has been very collaborative. Our approach has been very, very direct, and from the standpoint of, you know, you hire position coaches for a reason, not just to coach the position, but also to have, you know, input on game plans. And so having Rich now being in and being around, you know, Kyle and his, you know, his offenses, whether it be in Atlanta and San Francisco, and being around quarterbacks, you know, Matt Ryan and obviously Garoppolo and Nick Mullins in San Fran, these guys, he just brings and then having coordinator experience, you know, in Denver last year, just for me, very intriguing to be able to bring in a guy that, you know, is going to help Carson, number one. It's going to help our offense. It's going to he's going to be a guy, not solely his responsibility, but allowing us to take our offense maybe to a different level, and something that we weren't as good at last year in the last couple of seasons, and those are all things that you know I have to take a look at. You're right, through the evaluation process. So I'm excited to work with Rich and Aaron, the guys, you know, as we get ready for OTAs.
What's his role on a day-to-day basis? Is it all game plan specific or quarterback specific?
I mean, it's various roles. One, he's going to be able to bridge the gap. He's going to be able to bring together the run division and the passing division, right, and bring that together with a blend of you know, formations and plays and things that really kind of tie everything together, right? And so that's going to be a key component. Obviously, game plan, he's going to have his hands all over the game plan as well. A lot of communication, a lot of film study. Yeah, he'll work with quarterbacks just like I am in that room. So he'll have a chance to do that as well and have some input there and you know, just assist with us on offense.
You want to say the Ugers back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I said the same thing about Darren Sproles. Heck yeah.
I'm sorry. What kind of coach are the Detroit Lions getting in Corey Unlin?
Corey, wow. Hard to you know, obviously lose, and tough to lose a guy like Corey. They're getting a guy that he's going to be – his players are going to be well prepared. He gets the most out of his players. The players play hard for him. And, you know, I'm excited for him and being in this role, you know, with Detroit and with Coach Patricia. Excited to see where his career goes now.
What needs to happen to get more production from the wide receivers?
Say that again.
What needs to happen to get more production from the wide receivers?
Maybe less injuries.
I think personnel, do you think that's a position that
you know, I was asked the other day about speed and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, I think everybody here in this week is looking for speed and the next, you know, the next diamond in the rough. And as we go through our evaluation process, we're gonna find and pick the best players we can to help the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's how we get better.
There's been a lot of talk about the relationship between Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey. You're in the building every day. You see him interact. Do you view that as a problem or something that needs to be worked on, or can he come back next year and they can have a working relationship?
Yeah, you know, I don't see that. I think one of the things that where Carson really took a big step was in that leadership approach this past year. Getting everybody on the same page and on board and you know, it's just unfortunate because we had a lot of high expectations as an offense going into the season, and then when pieces started to drop out, it's just unfortunate that way. But there were no issues, you know, between those two.
How are you made of wear, Stan? What's your view on this class?
I think it's, you know, again, I think it's a talented group. I think there's some guys here that obviously can make an impact with, you know, and with whoever, you know, picks them and drafts them. So something position we'll take a look at is as we do it each year.
Doug, how are you? You've invested a lot in veteran backup quarterbacks. You think Carson's at the point now, health-wise and experience-wise, that you could maybe go with in a younger direction at that position with the backup quarterback?
I think you could. I think you got to be careful. It's got to be the right guy. You know, obviously it's got to be a guy that you feel comfortable maybe playing a game or two. At the same time, you know, what we've done with that position is we brought in some veteran guys the past couple of seasons that have got us through. And we're going to take a look at that. We always do. I mean, that's obviously something that is important to me, having been a backup quarterback and the importance of that. So, you know, we'll evaluate that this offseason.
How are you made aware of left-handed quarterbacks in the NFL, either as backups or as starters?
It's crazy.
Why do you think that is? I mean, you played a pretty good one, Scott Mitchell, years ago. Like, what? Why is it so hard to make it as a lefty now these days?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's really a good question, whether they're playing baseball or other sports. It's a unique stat. I'm not sure why, honestly. No. Left-handed, right-handed, doesn't matter. Can they complete passes or not? I mean, that's bottom line. It doesn't matter to me if you're right or left-handed. I like ambidextrous guys, too. If they could throw with both, that'd be great.
How were you first made aware of Scangarello, Rich? How were you first made aware of Rich Scangarello?
So, I mean, it's this whole search is a funny business. When you start talking to other coaches and whether they're head coaches in this league and you're asking about certain coaches, and then you start talking about guys, this, that, and the other, certain names come up, and his name came up, and so I did a little more of a deep dive with him and really felt like he was a guy that of interest for me and love the fact that he has old West Coast roots. So he and I hit it off right away from the standpoint of, you know, offensive play design. Really felt comfortable with, having him in our building. Thank you.
BGN.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.